Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
I keep talking about how apropos summer madness is, no matter when we play it. Today, in New York City, in New Jersey, again, the weather is sort of summerish. I said in the 70s today, no need for a coat. You could use a jacket. And it's going to get that way in the weekend. No matter when I play Summer Madness, it's apropos, because the weather's mad from the positive side, mad from the negative side, or you're mad because you should be on the side and when the weather's great. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God, you know, life again. Red Life Stadium, first question. The Jets are up 7-0. It's the Buffalo Bills, an old AFL rivalry, old 2-0 AFL football team, all New York. Buff New York against the Big Apple New York. Jets quarterback in the end zone for the first score of the game. And I said, you know what, let's do something. We're here, let's rock and roll. And we're looking at some of the actors for today. Christian Haxenberg, Morris Claiborne, Terrence Brooks, Terry James, Lawrence Thomas, Ogun Kwan, and Brandon Shell for the Jets. Buffalo, Kevin Benjamin, Brandon Tate, E.J. Gaines, Seantrell Henderson, Connor McDermott, John Miller, Charles Clay. And right now, on the field they play, it's a Thursday, primetime football. Who would have thought the Jets and Buffalo would have been playing in primetime? And it had a little meaning to it. Buffalo can win this game today, they go in the first place. Jets win this game today, they're back in the playoff picture. Lost three straight in a row. And you say, without question, they shouldn't have lost two. Maybe you won all three, of course, but has it been 3 weeks already? A great line by Mark Twain. I don't worry about the future. It comes quick enough. Heard that today. Houston Astros, first time ever, won the World Series. Beating the Dodgers in L.A. in 7 games. They are the new baseball champions of the world. And the American League wins another World Championship. Houston Astros win their first. And once again, players traded from the Yankees on the World Championship team. Chapman last year. The Cubs. McCann and Beltran, who was once with the Astros. Last time Astros were in the World Series, they had no minority player on their roster. No player of color. Sad and touches, how the Western would say. But midlife, we're watching football today, some trades today. Wow. Pants got rid of a receiver. Talking to Jay George, just maybe catch him real quick. If we can, run down and grab him, pull him aside, and we can talk about that real quickly after we pray. Mooney and Larry Odyssey, you know how I feel about them gentlemen. What they mean to me, both friends, human beings, colleagues. They're the absolute best. Deontay Wilder, Steve Irwin, this Saturday at the Barclays Center. Give me some notes, too. 3-6. Right now, Wilder's 38-0 with 37 knockouts. Steve Irwin is the only guy not to be knocked out by him. Wilder says that will change on Saturday. Steve Irwin said, hey, I was 100% last time, but I'm 100% now, and I will win back my title. Don King's in town, only in America. Can the Don change this? Thank God he did. He does. He's still with us. Back then, he's posting the Blockside Radio. I trust in God. We're the network. It's just a tie football game now. Buffalo has just scored. A lot of Buffalo fans are here. So now it's 7-6. They're looking to tie the score up. And what we're looking to do is like we always do, open up with a prayer. I have so many nice prayers. And I've got them here on my phone. And I can't read them. Started writing them down. I had some questions. We are not in studio. We are live again. Once again, from MetLife Stadium, East Philadelphia, New Jersey. It is the New York Jets against the Buffalo Bills. It's an all-New York final. All New York game, and two old AFL teams. Wow. Hey, let's do a little plug, and we come on back here and pray.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Come out on our knees and pray. Now, coach, knees and pray. Dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will and have your way. Lord, don't give us what we want. Give us what we need. And we hope and pray that they're both one and the same. We thank you for last night's laying down. This morning's getting up. As my mother said, clothed in our right mind. And as others say, on this side of the day. That's our beloved family. All the SID family. All my family in Brazil. All my family in DR. in my family in Aruba, all my family in Italy, all my family in Virginia. Lord, we want to thank you for clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table. As Thanksgiving comes, the hypocrisy does it every day is Thanksgiving. Christmas comes every day is Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for those things we so largely take for granted. More importantly, we want to take this time and not to give up. Forgive us, guide us, strengthen us. Your way, be our way. And we ask you to bless all of us in the name of your darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Yeah, think about this. Next month, December. Here's some first year stats, first quarter stats for you. And let's do Texas lyrics. Give up on this mistake. But I got a chance to get some interviews here real quick and Sports Devil Lost Radio on Trust and God. Anyway, let's talk a little baseball real quick. And yesterday, Houston Astros, first time ever winning the World Series. And had some remarkable stats here, too. This is a even football game, Jets and Buffalo. And we're going to see if I can get a couple of people. Hey, now, hey, baby. Okay. You got a quick minute? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to GTG here, talk about some trades and calls, trying to get some stuff here while we're going. Dr. Lenny's posting up live, Dr. Radio. Now we're watching this Jet drive as they're trying to reestablish the lead in the last three games. They led and opened up the scoring. In fact, the last three games, they scored the first time they got the ball. I get GG here. Just a quick thing about some trades happening. We'll come on back. Dr. Stanley Sports, that Blast Operator, Justin Garvey Network. The Jets and Buffalo Bills, two AFL teams. And here in MetLife Stadium, a football game that the Bills win. This game, first place. The Jets win. They'll finally win again after three straight losses, games that seem they should have won. Houston Astros win the. Win the World Series, and okay, you know what? We're going to play a little music for you, and no, we're not. We're not going to stay right here. We're going to stay right here, talk to TG, and then we're going to give you what's happening on the field here, the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. It's a tie football game. Jets 3-6 on a drive that they would like to keep going. And let's see how it works out now. And back to pass, the first down. And the drive is kept going, but there's a flag on the play. It seems that, too, that the Jets seem to have the shoot southern foot. This is good for them, though. They get the first down, and they're off in the pass. So now they'll get an automatic first down on the play, and which they already had gotten. But they get 15 more yards. Shaq Lawson, personal foul against the Jet quarterback, and that moves the ball a little further downfield. So the Jets pick up two first downs, really. First down on the pass and play, added with the down, and the penalty. So they're trying to keep the drive going. I was trying to catch some baseball guys here real quick, but I can't. Jets in 26, trying to at least get in the field goal range to reestablish the lead here. And they're down to the 20. Good drive, beating the clock. Would be a big, big psychological lift to come right back and score after giving up a score. And more importantly, being able to score sort of at will. You know, hey, we need to score. We're going to score. Last week, two missed field goals with a difference in a loss against the final last week. That was Sunday. Big weekend in New York City. Even though they played football games in Jersey, the Jets played on Sunday. Jets playing again today on Thursday. And the Giants will be here on Sunday. And drop pass by tight end, which would have got another first down. But nobody's turning down the balls on passes. So, Jets, Thursday night football, the Jets and the Bills. And while wide open, boom, boom. There's the ball he's got to be upset about. And, wow. Doc Sanders wasn't a blog talk video. Let's go. There were some interesting stats with the Houston Astros. They're the third team in the last 100 years to lead the league in slugging percentage and strike out the less than anybody else. They led the major leagues in hitting, led the major leagues in run scored. The Jets are in a touchdown, but we'll see there's a flag on the play. So either they've got the lead or they have going to negate the touchdown. McCown is talking to the official in flag. Oh, my goodness. These are the kind of calls you just can't believe. The Jets had the touchdown, and the call is pass interference on the offense. And I like this call because these are some of the calls that the Jets get against them that you kind of blow your mind. And Todd Bowles has to, too. I mean, you know, how does these kind of calls come about? How does a team on their own home turf, you know, it's just no advantage? How do they get these kind of calls? That's the call right now. So the Jets, who are driving, instead of the touchdown, it's third down and 14, and they're not even in the field goal range. And that's it. That's it. But you question the propensity of these calls. You don't know if it's bad calls against bad team or bad team. That's another thing. We got TG here. TG, these are things that keep happening all year. I mean, we don't know if it's a bad call against a bad team or bad team making bad plays. They're coming down the field. Pass interference against the offense.
I thought that call that you're talking about with Forte was a little chintzy. You know, I mean, the play began with the defensive guy putting his hands on his neck, and then he sort of engaged with him. I guess the thinking was from the official is if you engage with him like that, he doesn't have a chance to go back to defend on the ball over his head. A little touchy there, but Forte's been around long enough to be able to do that, either A, do it and not get caught, or B, not do it. So it did cost him, but, you know, I'm really impressed with what the Jets are doing so far.
Okay. We've been impressed all along. They've lost three football games. They either should have won the big call against England. I mean, they have really played some good football, and that's a tribute to the coach and the players.
I'll give you that, although my definition of good football is winning football. You know, I mean, they played good a quarter or played good a three quarters or played good and then just totally played so poorly in big moments that none of that to me is really good. Now, certainly if there's some groundwork there to build, and that's kind of what they're doing tonight. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to maintain it. And really, the way their season has gone so far, it really all boils down to what kind of football team are we going to see in the fourth quarter? Self-destruction and losing games. So let's see if they can actually win the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, took the lead here. Man, Carolina, they got rid of the receiver, but you told me, you know, your inside genius is so remarkable. You said, you know, he wasn't that kind of explosive. He wasn't the Moss. He wasn't the Sean Jackson. He wasn't the Jerry Rice. He didn't make people have to worry about him.
But he was Cam Newton's friend. Cam Newton's not happy about it, that's for sure. And it was one more weapon that Cam was familiar with and one that Cam would like to have. you know, they always say owners own and general managers select and players play. And general managers and owners make decisions about personnel, sometimes with their head coach in the loop and sometimes not. As we saw last week, Todd Bowles learned about a player acquisition in the press conference at the trading deadline. So sometimes they're all involved and sometimes not so much. But this kid, Calvin Benjamin, this guy, he's big, he's physical, he's a player. And I think he'll have to kind of moving forward. They are looking for more shiftiness and more speed, guys that can stretch the field. And we'll see where that takes them. Very much so. I mean, in my book, Blitz, I spent an entire chapter on with Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, talking about how they identified Carson Wentz a year prior, how they went through the process of selecting him, of moving up two spots, two different times in the draft to get to the spot to get him. And what they saw coming and what some of us saw coming last year is now coming to full fruition with him now. Here's one story about him that sort of stands out, the issue of nature, not only the type of player he is, but how he's handling his approach last year as a rookie. Jeffrey invited him to a major concert that was going on in the stadium down there, Lincoln Financial Field. Mm-hmm. Invited him and the other two quarterbacks on the roster, including, I think at that time, Sam Bradford was there. And Carson went to watch in Jeffrey's private box. And Carson spoke to Jeffrey Lurie and told him, sir, with all due respect, I don't think it's a good idea I come. I haven't done anything yet to deserve to have such a special privilege to do that. And I don't think it would look good for my teammates for me to be there and, you know, a lot of veteran guys in the locker room not. So I respectfully decline, and hopefully one day I can be at a stature where I can go there and totally feel comfortable with it because I've earned that type of privilege. That's Carson Wentz.
Thanks, baby. The book is blazed. We'll talk some later after that. So there's an insight, kind of pitchy call, but it seems that the Jets just don't get the benefit of the doubt. You know, if it's push come to shove, they're going to get shoved, and they're not pushing, they're going to be called for pushing. But they got the lead here. That's not a touchdown, but they got a field goal. So as we move on here in the second quarter, it's 10-7 football game. I'm looking for my buddies there, but we're going to play with Christian music for you, as I promised, and get on back to Sports and Death in just a minute. But now you're a little upset. So I'm going to come on, bring some Christmas music for Thanksgiving. But then everything is Thanksgiving, and every day is Christmas. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block, I live in Custom Cover, and Blaze. Blitz is the book from Thomas George, and make sure you pick it up. And for you people who love music, here it is. First, The Temptations. Well, you remember when I first heard this song, Jackson 5. and 5 with their rendition of Your Love on Christmas Day. In the interim, just got a call from one of the most highly decorated detectives in New York City history, Ed Brown, who is also the personal bodyguard of Floyd Money, Pretty Boy Mayweather. He was talking to me last night that Mayweather had in the past told Triple G, fight Andre Ward, we'll lose a draw, I'll fight you after that. Now, he just sent me a message that Mayweather has said, on the one condition, he will fight Triple G. I'm trying to get Brownie to call us and join us and find out what that one condition is. So we're waiting for that call to come from him and see what it is. As you know, we talked about Stallone and Wilder this Saturday at Barclays Center. John Porter will be in that card, too. Other big fights coming up, too, and before the end of the year. And this is at the end of the year, too. We've got Miguel Cotto against Ali for his title. Kovalev is fighting for the title that's been vacated by Andre Ward. And the big fight that's already sold out at the theater. Kashinko, I'm saying that wrong, and Rigondorf. So we've got, starting Saturday, four fights between this Saturday and the end of the year. Excuse me. This Saturday, it's Wilder and Stallone. And next Saturday, it's Danny Jacobs and Harris. And then we move into the last two fights of the year. Cotto at the Garden. Kovalev at the Garden. Excuse me. And Rigondorf at the Garden. So we've got five fights. And really big quality fights, too. Jets are trying to enhance this league with 5:22 left in the first half. They have a 10-7 lead over Buffalo, and they're trying to keep on coming down the field. Let's get back to some more Christian music. I want to get Brown called in and give me the lowdown on what this is. So what we're going to do, we're going to play some boxing music while we try to find out about what's happening in this boxing crazy world. Thank you. And what a way to introduce the Junebug, Gilberto Junebug Ortiz. He's going to join us, talk some quick boxing here. What I told you about that Mayweather ultimatum, he says he has a 4-1-1 on that. We're going to talk about the five fights that are coming up, starting with Stavern and Wilder this Saturday from the Barclay Center. And we're waiting for June to join us. So he joins us. We talk boxing here live from MetLife Stadium, where the Jets are leading the Buffalo Bills 10-7 with 3:18 left in the game. But that's been the story of the last three games, where they've led or took the lead and then lost. As Thomas George said, you know, they do good for three quarters, and then they find them doing something in the fourth quarter that they lose the game. So, okay, we're going to see what's happening here right now. We need a two-minute warning for the first half, and we're going to see what happens here. And we're waiting for June to call us, and he should be joining us shortly. And so I want to open up that music, too. That was really tough. Houston Astros won their first ever World Series yesterday, beating the Dodgers in L.A. They had the 2-3-4 format where the Dodgers got the home games, four of the games played in at their park. And the Astros led the league in batting, led the league in scored runs, and one of only three teams in the last 100 years to lead the league in scored in slugging percentage and strikeout less than anybody else in the league. We're waiting for Gilberto to join us, and just hang on in here. He should be joining us momentarily, and we'll talk some boxing. Doc said he's posting the Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, and I played, you know, we know the favorite Christmas song, but, you know, let's let Larry Hardesty do the intro. No, a little music on here real quick, and we'll be right back with you. Christmas music. Okay, here we go. We got Gilberto to join us here. We're getting ready to leave. And here he is, the Latin side of Welcome to Boxing, a comparable legendary Gilberto Junebug. Junebug, we talked there. We said you've heard this before, the ultimatum given to Triple G by Floyd Mayweather. Now, what was that about? I heard he was said he wanted Triple G to fight Andre Ward, and then he would fight him after that. What was the scoop that you heard on that?
That was about, I'll have to say that was about a year ago. He was he wanted Triple G to fight Andre Ward, which we all know Triple G didn't want to fight Ward because Triple G would have to move up to 168 to the super middleweight division to fight Ward because Ward was already at 168. Triple G declined to fight Andre Ward for whatever reasons. I guess he wanted to unify the belt in the middleweight division. Therefore, the fight between him and Floyd was not, in my opinion, I don't think it's going to happen. It was going to happen at the time. Who's to say if it can still happen now?
Yeah. Okay, let's move here. We've got five. Hold on a second. Don't move. Okay, I just got the Brown. He sent it to me. I think it was June. Let's look at these fights we got coming up. Wilder against Stavern. Who do you like in that fight? And Ken Wilder. I mean, Stavern is the only guy to go to distance with him. Wilder's 38-0, 37 knockouts. Who do you like and why on Saturday?
I have to lean with Wilder. He's a very good fighter. He's for a heavyweight fighter and as big as he is, I mean, the man has a lot of stamina. I mean, he's the only guy. I can't take nothing away from Stavern. Stavern's another good fighter. I mean, that's Wilder's biggest test. He's only gone 12 rounds with Berman Stavern, who he won the title with. So, but I have to stick with Wilder. You know, he's more active. He throws more punches. So I have to stick with Wilder on the fight.
Okay, well, I heard Don King was insulted at the press conference. Okay, and then after that, we've got the fight coming out next week at the Nassau Coliseum, Danny Jacobs against Aries. Who do you see winning that fight? And then what does Jacobs' future look like in the middleweight division?
I think I've always liked the Jacob. He's a good, solid fighter, good competitor. I like Wilder. Jacobs in the fight the next week. And I don't take nothing away from Jacobs. He fought Triple G. I mean, I think, in my opinion, I think if Jacobs would have done what he did in the later rounds, in the earlier rounds, I have no doubt he would have beat Triple G.
I think,
in my opinion, that Danny Jacobs thus far has been Triple G's
nemesis. Throwing in the side.
He's been Triple G's biggest competitive fight. Not taking away from Canelo. I just think that Danny's a natural middleweight fighter, I think he did a better job fighting Triple G than Canelo. I think Canelo was backing up in the fight and then made him look bad.
On this card Saturday too, we got a name on that, a guy that we like, has been a champion and always brings the best to the table. Sean Porter's on this card on Saturday. He's fighting, looking like to get back in that picture. What do you think of Sean Porter?
I think Sean Porter will probably win this fight. I have no doubt. He has to win this fight. There's no doubt about it. If he wants the rematch with Keith Thurman, I mean, if he loses this fight, you know, he knows that his chances to get the rematch with Keith Thurman is just not going to happen.
Can he win a rematch with Keith Thurman?
Honestly, I don't think so. And not taking away nothing from Sean. He's a hell of a fighter, competitive fighter, great former champion. But I think Keith Thurman pretty much has his number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. So I'm going to have Latin side of Brooklyn on boxing. Roberto Junebug. Junebug, okay, let's move along here. We've got three other big fights. Saturday starts again, five big fights here in the New York City area. And one of the other big fights is Kovalov. He's in the ring again, fighting for the title that he once had.
Well, you know, listen, I've always been a Kovalov fan. I think not only was he a good champion, respectable champion, but he's also a great guy outside of the ring. You know, what more can I say? You know, the guy doesn't shy away from interviews, doesn't shy away from signing an autograph. And to me, that's a big sign of being a great champion, or a true champion, let's say. I think Sergey Kovalev, I have to go on to Kovalev on this fight. I mean, he's a good fighter. I thought he was shortchanged on the fight with Andre Ward in the first fight. I think he was robbed. In the second fight, he was hit by a low blow. You know, not taking away nothing from Andre, but, you know, I like Kovalev. I think Kovalev's going to win and become a light heavyweight champion.
Change of champion sat outside the ring. I love the guy. A fight that supposedly is going to be his last fight, Miguel Cotto against Nadim Ali in the Garden for Cotto's title. One, how do you see that fight? And do you think this is this one song, or I'm thinking that he may get fever again and want the winner of the Triple G and Canelo fight? Cotto, last fight?
I would have to say, I'm sorry to cut you off. You were saying?
No, go ahead.
I would have to say that I would have to say this is probably Miguel's last fight. I don't see why he would want to come back to fight Triple G. I mean, I don't see him beating Triple G. If Canelo couldn't do it, I highly doubt it Miguel Cotto could do it. So that being said, I think if Miguel goes out with his last fight with Saddam Ali, I mean, you know, he had a hell of a career. Take nothing away before the best in
the
era.
Okay. But now if Canelo would win, you could see Canelo Cotto again happily.
I mean, you're going to get the same results. Canelo's
But what you have an in-house golden boy fight.
Yeah, but like I said, you're still going to get the same results. I mean, the fight could happen. Yeah, if Cotto decides to stick around,
come back.
You know, but the thing is that the big fight right now is not so much Miguel against Canelo. Don't get me wrong; it's an interesting fight, but the big fight everybody's interested in is Canelo versus Triple G in the second fight.
So again,
you
okay,
know?
No question about
and
that.
And in my opinion,
the Block Talk Radio. Go ahead, June.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think that if there's a hype saying that Mayweather's making a comeback, I don't believe it. I mean, it could be true. I don't know. But if he does make a comeback, the only way I can see Floyd getting paid the kind of money that he likes to get paid, it's either a fight with the winner of Triple G and Canelo. I can't see any fight. If he fights any other fight in the welterweight division, you know, Floyd's not going to want to make $20, $25 million.
Well,
I think the big fight, the big fight for him, it's got to be the winner between Canelo or Triple G.
And we're talking about big fights, and you know, we got the heavyweight champion of the world, two great heavyweights, two outstanding heavyweights. We've got Cotto, one of the finest fighters of this generation. We got the buzz of Triple G and Canelo happening again. We've got Sean Porter fighting. We just talked about Kovalev with a great champion, but the fight that everybody is looking for, it's already sold out. Rigondeaux and Shevchenko.
Oh, yeah, that's Lomachenko and Rigondeaux. That's going to be another good fight. I mean, these are both two good fighters. They're fast. They know how to utilize the ring, especially Lomachenko. Rigondeaux's speed, you know. I mean, it's just good fighters. I mean, for me, it's one of those fights where it's just hard to toss it up and who wins the fight, you know. But I like both fighters, but I have to give the edge to Lomachenko.
Okay, so let's go over this board here. You've got Cotto winning his fight. You've got Luchenko beating Rigondeaux. That's a hell of a fight there. You've got Wilder over Stavern. Sean Porter trying to win his fight. And we've got Kenny Jacobs winning his fight. Those are the five guys you got, the five winners you're picking. Would you be surprised to see those things flip the other way, any kind of way?
You know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole beauty about boxing. You know, the one punch can turn the whole thing around. You know,
one punch can change
the whole game. So, you know, it's one of those things where this is the beauty of boxing that, you know, even though you're the favorite in the fight, you know, you can always be the underdog by one punch. So anything can happen in boxing, Doc. That's all I can say.
I was talking to Junior Jones yesterday, and I thought Junior was an outstanding champion. And I'd have to think that Junior was sort of punch drunk when he told me that, you know, he didn't think Ali was the greatest heavyweight of all time, and he thought Evander Holyfield was the greatest heavyweight of all time. And I said, you know, Evander Holyfield, to me, was a black Marciano. He beat all the guys that have passed their prime. There's no way in the world, I said, at his best, does a 21-year-old Evander Holyfield beat a 21-year-old Mike Tyson, a 21-year-old George Foreman, a 21-year-old Joe Frazier, or a 21-year-old Muhammad Ali. No way, shape, or form would Evander Holyfield at his best. The first fight that never came off with him and Mike Tyson, the great Marion Boykin said, had that fight came off, Tyson would have won that fight in 3 punches or 3 minutes, whatever came first. I mean, Evander Holyfield was a great champion, but he was no stretch of imagination, June, in my opinion, a great heavyweight. And the fact that he lost 2 out of 3 times to Billy Bo, and now he lost the second time because of injury, but Evander Holyfield is not the greatest heavyweight of all time, in my opinion. What do you think, June?
Well, if you ask me, I mean, me or you or anybody else, we didn't label Ali the greatest. He earned that title, you know? I need not say no more than that. I mean, Ali was the greatest, you know? I can't compare Ali to Holyfield or Holyfield to Ali. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see Evander Holyfield being the greatest. He was a good fighter, no doubt about it, but he wasn't the greatest. Ali earned that title.
Hey, I want you to be said, I'm with you on this. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Live Talk Radio on his Trusting Guard Network, live from MetLife Stadium. The Jets are up 10-7 in Buffalo Bills. Just got a fumble recovery. They have 55 seconds left to go, so they look like they will go into halftime with the lead here. Chewbug, we're going across the scope of things. We got those fights coming. Triple G and Canelo, there was so much talk about the lopsided scoring. The consensus was that Triple G got robbed. You want to expound on that?
The scoring was horrible. I mean, we all know that. But you know, first of all, let's be honest with ourselves. At least I'm being honest with myself. I mean, I saw Canelo losing the fight. I saw him lose the fight. You know, I saw Triple G being the more aggressive fighter. I think what hurt Canelo the most in this fight was that he backed up too much and he was leaning up against the ropes too much. You know, and it didn't look good. And even if Triple G threw punches and they didn't land, you know, if it depends on what side of the ring you're sitting on, it still looked like they landed. So it made Canelo look kind of bad. And to me, I don't see Canelo's punches didn't really hurt Triple G. He had some nice combinations in the earlier rounds, but midway through the fight, I mean, Triple G was pounding him. You know, and to see the rematch, but the shameful part is that we have to wait till next year, mid-next year, to see the rematch happen.
You know, I was thinking somewhere along the line, I thought there was a possibility that we may have seen either one of the guys or both of the guys maybe take a tune-up in between, possibly more so Triple G. I didn't think Triple G would want to last
that
long.
Triple G wants to take a rematch for December, but I don't know how that's going to go. You know, they're trying to negotiate the contract, the second fight for the contract for the second fight, and we don't know how that's going. You know, but they want to make the fight for next year, May, Cinco de Mayo weekend. And, you know, they should take it. They want to take up a tune-up fight. That'll be great. Fine. But, you know, let's make that fight happen.
At the press conference today, we both weren't there. We were committed to other places. Don King was there. And it's always good to see and be around Don King, what he's meant to the game. Good to hear that he's back in New York. And, you know, if Stavern wins that fight on Saturday, Don King now has a heavyweight champion world. But it's always good to hear that DK is got his input someplace in the world of boxing in June.
You know, well, Don King brings so much electricity, so much energy to a press conference. You know, I mean, the man's been in the game for so many years. You know, I mean, you got to give him respect just for that alone. You know, and you know, Don's had many good fighters underneath his belt, you know. That if Berman Stavern becomes champion again and Don has another champion in his hands, you know, he deserves it.
Dr. King, Sports the Block Talk Radio on the Dressing Guard Network, live in MetLife Stadium, talking to in our New York studios, the anchor and host of Welcome on Boxing, the Latin Side, June Gilberto, June Bug Ortiz. June, okay, so we've got those fights set up. Is there a possibility? I mean, how shocked were you and stunned that Andre Ward retired as suddenly as he did? Your thoughts and reflections on that?
Well, honestly speaking, I mean, I think he retired too early. You know, he still had a lot in him, you know, I feel. You know, he had yet to fight some really good opposition in the light heavyweight division. You know? There's a bunch of good fighters out there. You see, there was talk about him wanting to go up to as far as the heavyweight division. I mean, I wouldn't want to see him go that far. There's no need for it. There was enough competition in the light heavyweight alone to fight. But, only Andre Ward, knows what's in the best interest for his career, his legacy, and also for his family.
Yeah, you think, you know, he had some injury problems that had kept him out for a while, so maybe they're a little more intense or detrimental his health than they were. Good.
I don't think the injuries had anything to do. I think it's just one of those things where maybe he just decided that maybe he did enough in his career to just, you know, just hang him up and you know, I mean, he's a good announcer for HBO on boxing. I mean, he still has a job, you know, within the boxing community. You know, he's undefeated. He retired undefeated. I mean, not too many fighters go out like that. So, you know,
you're a class act, too. So no way in the world was he ducking anybody. No way in the world was he avoiding anybody. Andre Ward felt this was the best time and the best decision for Andre Ward and his family.
I mean, I would have to say, Doc, you know, I mean, you know, and if you're going to go out, I mean, why not go out undefeated? You know what I'm saying? Why ruin your legacy? You know, if your legacy is intact, you know, you want to go out that way, that's fine, you know. I mean, I guess he knows more than we, you know, what was in his best interest. And I guess, you know, we know that his best interest is retiring right now and, you know, spending time with his loved ones.
Speaking of legacies, Dr. Stanley Sports on the Block Talk Radio, my trusting car that network is halftime here. The Jets are leading the Buffalo Bills 10-7. Esquire had the 50 greatest living athletes. And the one box they had was the guy that beat Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Wilfredo Benitez, and Marvin Hagler. Your thoughts and your reflections on the great, and no question about that, the great Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, Leonard was a monster in his time, you know? I mean, Leonard fought the best, Duran, Hearns, I mean, Hagler. I mean, you know, boxing then was not what it is now, you know? I mean, these guys, I mean, they were fighting 15 rounds, you know? The championship rounds were 14 to 15 rounds. You know, these guys only fight 12 rounds nowadays, which is, you know, it's still not easy. It's not an easy task. But, I mean, these guys were exhausted by the 14th round, you know, let alone the 15th round. So, I mean, these guys put it all out there. They just threw it all out there. It was just, you know, I can't compare that era to this era. You know, but yeah.
Leonard had to be one
of the best fighters in the welterweight division then. And even
Floyd Mayweather Jr. Oh no, he's Sugar. I mean, you know, no doubt, great fighter. But and let's talk about Floyd Mayweather Jr. Floyd Mayweather Jr. PBE, no question, the best fighter of his era, without question, not the greatest fighter of all time. In your opinion, your thoughts on that?
My opinion, I think Floyd is the best fighter in this era. But I have to say, as far as fighting in the ring, best fighter in this era, I'd have to say, hands down. But he, you know, one thing about Floyd, you know, some people may criticize him because they may feel that he's not well educated. Well, you know, the man was smart enough to make amass the millions that he has now. So, you know, as far as being great, he was a great at masterminding the money that he's able to make at this point in time over any boxer and probably in boxing history, period, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right. You're 100% right.
I can tell you that in this era that Floyd is TBE, he is the best in this era. As far as in general, throughout all the years, I'd have to say he's at this era, yeah. But he is one of the most highest paid, not just athlete, but as far as boxing in general, he's one of the highest paid boxers, you know.
We've talked on occasion, Doc Stanley Sports ended up working on boxing, the Latin side, the Latin sportscaster and genius, Gilberto June Booker. And we've talked about this too. People forget how good he was offensively in the early part of his career when he didn't have the hand props. So him, Ali, and Tommy Hearns have done great with bad hands. But people don't remember, or they seem not to remember, what a great offensive fighter he was in the early part of his career. And I think probably his last great offensive display was when he fought Gotti in Atlantic City. But that Floyd Mayweather Jr. was the kind of guy that we saw all the time.
You can go back as far as when he fought Chico Diego Corrales. I mean, to me, he was a more offensive fighter then. Even when he fought Tough Top Corey, Sanbei Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I mean, he demolished these guys. And he was interacting with these guys more than what he did. I think in his later stage in his career, in the later stage of his career, was when he became more of a – he was a defensive guy, but he came more and more defensive later in his career. But in his early career, he was offensive and defensive. I mean, you couldn't hurt this guy. This guy was a monster. I mean, Diego Chico Corrales, Sanbei Mitchell, just to name a few guys, you know, Angel Manfredi. I mean, this guy was – he was in there with Jose Luis Castillo, the guy who – I mean, they had the – as a matter of fact, Floyd's only had two rematches in his whole career. – One was Jose Luis Castillo because he had a bad hand and they criticized him in the first fight. Then in the second fight, he waxed him. Okay, second fight was Chico Madonna. You know, those are the only two rematches he ever had in his career, as far as I can think of. But
again, the show's really cool. I want to say happy birthday to Angel Manfredi. He had a birthday a couple of days ago. And you know, let's put a name at you, June. That puzzles us, and you think so much of what he could have been, and he showed in the brief time that it did happen and the greatest press conference we went to that he was the equal or maybe the superior Floyd Mayweather Jr., and we're talking about none other than Zab Judah.
Oh, Zab Judah. you know, Zab Judah, I mean, he's, in all honesty, he's a lot faster than Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, take nothing to Zab. He was a, to me, I think he was a hell of a champion, good fighter. The only problem that Zab had that, that Floyd didn't have was that, you know, Floyd always had a game plan, you know, and he executed his game plan all the way, you know, to the end, you know, no matter what. And even at times when he has been hurt, which he has been hurt by Sugar Ray Leonard, I mean, Sugar Ray, Shane Mosley.
Sugar Shane Mosley.
Right, Sugar Shane Mosley. And he weathered the storm, and he showed what a true champion, what a true-hearted champion that he is in that fight. And also, I think Madonna, he got a little razzled when Madonna hit him. But he weathered that, and he won the fight. But, you know, Zab, I don't take nothing from Zab. Zab's a hell of a fighter. Great champ, you know, good champion. But his, the problem with Zab is that, you know, halfway through the fight, he just loses his game plan, you know?
He loses the plan that he did have or showed that he didn't have a plan. And it seems that, you know, the potential that of Zab, you know, Zab just, you know, just showed you enough to win when he won, and for somehow didn't have maybe the zeal, the dedication, and I don't think the lack of the love for the game, but could that be it, June? The lack of the love for the game, the lack of zeal,
you know,
the lack of dedication?
I think it could be all that in one, Doc. You know, you may be absolutely right. But the thing with Zab is that, you know, if you look at Zab's fights, if you watch the fight with Mayweather and Zab, I mean, in all honesty, Zab is much faster than Floyd Mayweather. Hand speed-wise, he's faster. The only problem that Zab has is that he just loses his focus midway through the fight, and his whole game plan goes out the window.
Yeah, the one that he had or the one that he should have had.
Right.
God, Stanley,
so,
what's
but
that
take nothing away
deal?
From him. You know, he's a nice guy outside of the ring, too. Good fighter in the ring. I mean, you know, he just, like I said, we can say
Zab never went in the ring with a full tank of gas.
Right.
No. Yeah, he never went in, and there were fights where he didn't need a whole tank of gas, or he was so much faster that he had enough gas. But when he came to the elite guys, and you look at that fight against Floyd, and I remember the Gotti brothers were telling me, you know what I mean, they liked him. And if you look back on that fight, like you said, he's the one guy that has fought Floyd Mayweather Jr. and at some point was beating Floyd Mayweather Jr. beyond the fact that his hands are faster than Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Much faster, yeah. Much faster.
Yeah, yeah. Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blocks are great on the Trust and Guard Network, talking to the sportscasters from the Latin side of Brooklyn on boxing, and copper with legendary Gilberto Junior. Chief Jumbo, what do you have to say? I know you got to run. Give me some thoughts, insights, things about boxing that's on your mind before you leave us alone, some thoughts, some concepts, some things that we should know here as the world listens to
you.
Well, Hello, Rose, and I'm listening from Brazil.
I'm not the only one that wants to know, but we all want to know. When is Keith Thurman going to finally step up to the plate and fight Earl Spence? That's a question we all. That's on my mind constantly. You know what I'm saying? Earl Spence is going to fight. He's fighting in I think January, February. I think, I'm not sure. And then Keith has a fight coming up in February, no later than March, because he hasn't had elbow injury. You know, and
right.
You know,
he's falling apart, June.
You know,
the more you hear about Keith, his car accident, he's falling apart.
You know, as a champion. You know, he should be one that's fighting the elite fighters. You know, a couple of years ago when they brought him the name of Earl Spence to his ears, you know, he got offended because he felt Earl Spence wasn't in his league. You know what I'm saying? But now to Earl's credit, Earl has a championship belt. So you can't say that the man's not in his league no more, because now he's one of the elite fighters in the welterweight division. So
is he the best welterweight in the world right now? Is Earl Spence Jr. is he the best welterweight in the world, and soon will have the title of the best fighter in the world pound for pound? Is he the best welterweight right now in the world?
Well, he's one of the best fighters right now in the welterweight division. The only thing I'll give Earl Spence the credit when credit's due. And I take nothing away from Earl. He's a hell of a fighter in the welterweight division.
Mm.
But once he beats Keith Thurman and he unifies all three belts, I have to say that he's the best welterweight right now. But I can't say that yet. Until Keith Thurman faces off with Earl Spence, and whoever wins that fight, then we can say who's the best welterweight right now. But because Keith has two belts and Earl has one belt, then he can. I can't say, you know, who's the best welterweight. But
the last man standing will be the best man.
Right.
The last man standing will be the best man. And your consensus, that man will be Earl Spence Jr.
I mean, listen, it's not a big surprise why Keith doesn't want to fight Earl this year coming up. It ain't rocket scientist. You don't need to be the brain surgeon to figure that out. So, I mean, that being said, we gotta ask ourselves, you know, what do I want from boxing right now? I want to see Keith Thurman call out Earl Spence, because all I keep hearing is Earl Spence calling out Keith Thurman.
How impressed were you when Spence went over to England and hadn't put forth and won the title against a very game and a very elite fighter? Left the confines of his country, and he said, you know, champion travels. How impressed were you with both his victory and his mindset of going over there to get the fight and win the title?
I mean, I was very impressed. I mean, that's what true fighters do. They go over and invade somebody's land and snatch the belt from these guys. You know, I mean, and not for nothing, Kell Brook was a very competitive fight for Keith. I mean, for Earl.
Earl competitive.
If you look at Kell Brook's physique, he was a much bigger guy than Earl Spence. I mean, let's not forget, he just finished fighting Triple G, so he moved up to 160 just to fight Triple G, which I give him credit for.
And at that time, he was holding his own against Triple G, too.
Right. He came down to 147. He defended his IBF title with Earl Spence, and Earl Spence happened to be the better man, you know? Mm. So that fight was a good fight, was a good platform for Earl. Keith can't overlook the fact that he's now an IBF welterweight champion. Keith wants to unify the welterweight division. Okay, well, I'll need to hear his name, Earl Spence, come out of his mouth. I don't hear Keith saying that, you know. All he's saying is about his elbow injury. He wants to take a tune-up fight. And then the second fight he wants to fight later on this year. I mean, next year. We don't know who it is. I'm sure it ain't going to be Earl Spence.
Josh Stanley, Sports at Black Stack Radio, Touch and Go. Live MetLife Stadium. We're in the third quarter, 14:06 to go. The Jets are leading the Buffalo Bills 10-7, trying to snap a three-game winning streak. Buffalo trying to win to gain sole possession of first place. You have already won because he's here. A legendary Gilberto Junbug Ortiz, the Latin sportscaster on the Latin side of Working on Boxing, giving us the inside, in scoop, and in-depth knowledge of the sweet science by one of the sweetest practitioners of the sweet science himself, Gilberto Junbug Ortiz. Gilberto, give me your top three fighters. Who's your favorite top three guys? Give me three guys. They're the number one guys in your books. Number one. Who's number one?
Right now, you know, in this era?
No, all time.
Well, Ali's number one. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Floyd Mayweather and Iron Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. And today's guys, who would be these guys? Your top three guys, Ali, Mayweather, and Tyson. Who's your top three guys right now in the game?
I'm a big fan of Floyd Mayweather, so I gotta pick Floyd. In this era right now, Floyd, Triple G, and I like Canelo. Good fighter.
Tremendous thing. Yeah, it got me thinking. If you can think back, remember the time we talked to Duran down at Victor's Cafe? Can you remember some of the positive things that he said about the, you know, when he, I remember Steve Farhood asked him, you know, I never saw you fight, and, you know, how do you describe your Shelvin, one of the greatest compliments of my life in boxing and life. When he turned to Farhood, he said, "Hey, ask him." And he told Steve Harvey to ask me, what do you remember that Duran said that particular day?
I remember him saying that you're the only guy that calls him Cholo. I remember that. And he was very fond of you. I mean, he knows you very well. So, you know, Cholo's a hell of a guy. He's a very nice guy. Very, you know, was another great champion too.
I think he's the greatest Latin fighter of all time. I think Roberto Duran was the greatest Latin fighter of all time. He was the Ali of Latin fighters. And before you had this mixture of collaboration, he was the guy carrying the banner for all of Latin fighters, the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, the Ecuadorians, Guatemalans. You know, he was the guy. Angelo Dundee said he thought that if Roberto Duran spoke English, he'd have been bigger than Ali. I think Angelo's a little off on that. But
you know, let's not forget that he was the first one that handed Sugar Ray Leonard his first defeat, man. Which I mean, at that time, you know, I thought it was almost an impossible thing, and he made it look so easy.
And you know what? And the thing about that, Marion Boykin talked about that, is that he came up two weight classes to be arguably the second greatest welterweight fighter of all time, and Ray Charles.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, you know, he came up two weight classes and passed his prime.
Because he won?
To be arguably. Yeah.
You have any more?
Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog, Doc Radio, Trust and Guard Network, talking boxing from MetLife Stadium. This is our third straight show in a row from MetLife. We did the Giants, we did the Jets, and now we're doing the Jets again. Jets playing twice in 1 week, and this will be a big week of football here as the Jets played on Sunday. The Jets playing today on Thursday, and they'll play again the Giants will play again on Sunday. So MetLife Stadium will be busy as the Jets play twice in 1 week, and the Giants are looking to come off their bye week and finally get another win. They're 1-6. The Jets trying to get to 4-5 against a team that is now really one of the better teams in football, and that's the that's the Buffalo Bills, and they're trying to mount a drive here too in the early part of quarter number three. We've got to get some heat from the area here. We hope you've enjoyed this segment, as we have got one of the great boxing minds of our time, Gilberto Jimbo Ortiz. When Marion Boykin put his top four fighters that era, he put Duran as number one, he said, because Duran was the furthest one away from home and never knew he was lost. And the fact that he came up two weight classes to beat Ray Charles Leonard. I think people forgot, too, that Ray Leonard retired after that fight. People don't remember, Ray Leonard retired after the Duran fight, and Duran was not 100%.
Okay, no problem.
You know, Duran talked about how he had he been 100%, he would have took out. He would have knocked out when he hit Ray Leonard in the second round. He said, but he couldn't spend all his energy. And there was some talk about Duran having heart problems. I remember the line by the great Ray Arcel. Ray Arcel said Duran couldn't have heart problems because Duran doesn't have a heart. He couldn't have heart problems. He doesn't. He said, I didn't have a heart. But it was, Duran fought the fight in Montreal, came with two weight classes, was not 100%. People forget that Ray Leonard retired after that fight, but Ray did come back. And for my money, Duran's the greatest non-heavyweight of my era. I heard from Mr. Biofiles. Mr. Biofiles, Scoop Malinati told me that in talking with Ray Robinson, or reading about Ray Robinson said that Roberto Duran was the fighter that most reminded him of himself. You need to go no further than that. The fighter that most reminded him of himself. And there's a funny, you know, Ray Leonard asked him, supposedly, Sugar Robinson, could he use the prefix Sugar? And what's funny is that Sugar Ray Leonard is really named after the real Ray Robinson, because Ray Charles' real name was Ray Robinson. But when Ray Charles came up, they said, well, you know, that name Ray Robinson is taken. You got to take another name. So he used his middle name, Ray Charles. But Ray Charles' real name was Ray Robinson, and Sugar Ray Leonard is named after Ray Charles. His name is Ray Charles Leonard, and so he was actually named after the real Ray Robinson. The real Ray Robinson's name was Walker Smith Jr. from Detroit, and he started using that name at the Salem gym where the coach kept all the cards there. But Sugar Ray Leonard is named after Ray Charles, whose real name is Ray Robinson. And just me and Ray talked about it one time. Great fighter, great person. As are most boxers. I stand at Sports and Death Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. June, what else do you want to talk about here? You gave us the winners. You got Wilder, you got Cotto, you got Jacobs, you got Koloff, and you got Kuchenko. And I mean, you know, Rigoloff is a hell of a fighter. I mean, would you be surprised to see Rigoloff pull this off and win this fight?
No, I like Lomachenko on the fight. I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from Ringendahl, but I favor Lomachenko. I don't know. I think just Lomachenko, I mean, let's not forget that, which it shouldn't hurt him. It should probably favor him more than anything. Ringendahl has to move up two weight classes to fight him at 130, because if I'm not mistaken, or one weight class, because I think Ringendahl is a bantamweight. So he's got to
You know, I tell everybody here, you know, when you listen to the people on Sports and Depth, you know, my people are not the best. They're the absolute best. These are intellects, geniuses, connoisseurs. I mean, you learn something every day, and you know, and it's a big thing that comes up in weight. And, you know, only Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns seem to handle it and bring their punch with them. I think people forget that when Salvador Sanchez fought Wilfredo Gomez, Wilfredo Gomez was coming up in weight. That's a big difference, June. That's a big difference when you got to come up and know you're coming into the guy's territory. It's like fighting him in his own home. People don't understand that, do they?
No. And, yes, like I said, so Rigondeaux's moving up in weight, and he's going to be fighting Lomachenko in a weight class where he's already comfortable in. So, I mean, it should make for a great fight, man. These guys, you know, they say styles make fights, and these guys both have speed. I think Lomachenko is just a little bit more crafty in the ring, so he really knows how to have that ring.
June, hold on a second.
Yep.
Go ahead, June.
Yeah, I think Lomachenko has the ring generalship to probably you know, become victorious in this fight, you know.
Okay.
But you know, like
okay.
I said, like we said before, Doc, you know, all it takes is one punch to change things around.
You know, I've always said there's only three guys that I thought to enter the ring to unbeatable. The first, Ali, who nobody did beat him. Sugar Ray Robinson as a welterweight, and Duran at 135. And you look at Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard only lost one major fight, and that was his first fight to Duran. So, but yeah. So anything can happen. But I mean, anything can happen except with those guys. You weren't going to beat Duran at 135. Ray Robinson at welterweight and the first Ali. So no one's sitting in that. But we'll see what's happening. Doc Tenney, Sports Talk Radio. On the Trust and Guardian. June, I know you got to go, huh?
Yeah, Doc.
Okay, Doom, thanks for being with us.
Okay.
One last thought. Any last thoughts, or you're all out of thoughts now? You're good?
You know, you done thought me out, brother.
Okay. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. Sports and the Block Talk Radio. Thanks, June. Love you, baby. Trust in God, Real Network.
I doubt. I just want to ask. Trust in God. Just love you.
Thanks.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? To save a world. To save a world. That's destined to die. That is destined to die. When I look at the world, when I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. It fills me with sorrow. Little children today, children today, really gonna suffer tomorrow. It's really tomorrow. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
We do. And we thank you for being home on time.
Yeah. To save our world. Yeah. To save our sweet world. To save a world that is destined to die.
And now, we gotta run. Time for us to go. Here are three thoughts. Service to others, Junji pay for your space here on Earth. Muhammad Ali. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I am my brother's keeper. The brother claimed me, and my brothers come in all colors. Nelson Mandela. I simply say, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and always. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty takes us away. Good night. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.